Lloyd Gaines is one of the most important missing persons you've probably never heard of. On this day, 80 years ago, December 12, 1938, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled in his favor in a case against the University of Missouri School of Law. The court said the school violated the Constitution when it rejected Lloyd Gaines' application because he was black. As KBIA's Catherine Palmer reports, 80 years later, the University of Missouri and many other schools across the country are still struggling to confront the history of racism on their campus.
No one knows what happened to Lloyd Lionel Gaines, last seen in Chicago on March 19, 1939.
He had either been threatened his life or given a substantial amount of money to disappear and never come back.
He took off and went to Mexico.
It just doesn't seem like he was the type of individual that would have just left his family.
You conclude that Lloyd Gaines was murdered.
What would it look like if somebody you care for disappeared? That haunts a lot of black students.
Yeah. That's my dad, that's my mother, and that's me circa probably 53.
Lorenzo T. Green is looking at a portrait of himself and his parents. He's the son of the late noted historian and civil rights activist Lorenzo J. Green. In the 1930s, Professor Green taught history and debate at Lincoln University in Jefferson City. Students are bustling in and out of a classroom building at the University of Missouri. In the 1930s, it was home to Missouri's only public law school, and the whole university was segregated. The NAACP was always on the lookout for a plaintiff who could challenge the law at the federal level, and Professor Green was surveying the young minds in his classes for the perfect candidate.
What he sought to do was to find students brilliant enough to break down this barrier that stood before them.
Enter Lloyd Gaines. When he met Professor Green in the early 1930s as an undergrad, Gaines was at the top of his class.
They were discussing the University of Missouri, and he asked, did they think that it was fair that the university would not accept people of color? And they all said no, and so they said, well, you know, what could you do?
So in 1935, the same year he graduated from Lincoln, Gaines applied to the MU School of Law, which promptly rejected his application because of his race. The NAACP had its case.
He was the blunt instrument that was going to deal the death blow to the wall.
The U.S. Supreme Court handed down its opinion in December 1938, ruling the rejection of Gaines's application on the basis of his race a violation of his 14th Amendment right to equal protection. Suddenly, 27-year-old Lloyd Gaines was front page news.
He became this instant personality because no one had ever did something like that before. You know, keep in mind, this is decades before Rosa Parks, decades before Martin Luther King.
Dwayne Smith is the provost and vice president of academic affairs at Harris Stowe University in St. Louis. Smith has spent hundreds of hours researching the Gaines case. Setting a sweeping precedent for graduate and professional schools across the nation, the Supreme Court said MU must either admit Gaines or provide an in-state law school of equal caliber for black students. Missouri quickly got to work on the second option and opened Lincoln University Law School in St. Louis in an old beauty shop.
And so there was a sense of pride that there was a black law school, but it was kind of mired in controversy because the understanding was that it was established to keep African-Americans, and namely Lloyd Gaines, out of Missouri Law School.
Gaines didn't plan on attending. Instead, the NAACP was preparing to sue again, this time to get Gaines into the MU Law School and dismantle segregated higher education once and for all. But Gaines was tired of the spotlight. His fame had made it hard to find work. So in the winter of 1939, he moved to Chicago to stay with a few fraternity brothers, look for work, clear his head. Then one night, Gaines told the housekeeper he was going out for stamps. No one ever saw him again. With no plaintiff, the NAACP dropped the case. 15 years after Gaines disappeared, the segregation wall he had almost torn down finally crumbled. In 1954, the Supreme Court issued its opinion on Brown v. Board of Education and ruled segregated schools unconstitutional. But integrating formerly all-white institutions like MU wasn't easy, says one of its first black law students, Michael Middleton.
I've always considered myself a part of the movement.
Middleton went on to work as a civil rights attorney and law professor. He served as interim president of the University of Missouri's four-campus system between 2015 and 2017, in the immediate aftermath of student-led anti-racism protests at the Columbia campus.
So the Lloyd Gaines story was motivational for me.
In 1969, Middleton joined other students in protesting the isolation of black students on campus, calling for, among other things, acknowledgement of MU's racist history.
People get comfortable and complacent and don't understand the importance of dealing honestly with it until it explodes on them.
It exploded in Columbia 3 years ago during the fall of 2015. The protests were fueled by repeated instances of racial slurs directed at black students, met with limited responses from the university administration. One of the protesters, Maxwell Little, says focusing on the long arc of racism, including Lloyd Gaines' story, drove the protest messaging.
The people who attended the homecoming parade needed to know the history of African Americans' contributions to the University of Missouri and the struggles that African Americans had to go to just to be seen as important or a significant member of the University of Missouri.
In the 3 years since the protests, MU has installed new leadership and publicized its commitment to diversity and inclusion. On the ground, though, MU is still struggling to recruit and retain black students and faculty. MU's challenges come in the middle of a larger national dialogue about the history of racism in higher education. Although Gaines' legacy is still in the making, any leads on his whereabouts after March 19, 1939 are frozen solid. And while there are still no answers 80 years later, for many across the country, the case of Lloyd Gaines is too important to forget.
That was Catherine Palmer reporting on the 80th anniversary of the Lloyd Gaines Supreme Court victory on this day 80 years ago. I'm Janet Saidi. See more on the Gaines story and legacy at kbia.org.